with Terry Giampetroni, and Terry's with Legal Strategies, talking with Janet about estate sales, but we're going to be talking to you about estate planning.
Absolutely, but I think you guys made an excellent point at the end of Janet's interview, and that is the myth about the word estate. It does not mean you're a millionaire. It doesn't mean you have a certain socioeconomic status. It means you own things.
Yeah, Terry, because I was thinking, I don't have not so much.
Well, and a lot of women, again, you know, our demographic here is women in transition, a lot of women making changes who, you know, maybe they've been downsized, maybe they've lost their, just talking to a woman yesterday who lost her position with a big company, okay, so she's got to make some adjustments there.
Exactly, but she still has an estate. She probably owns a home, she has some assets, she may have some retirement assets from the company that just let her go, and I'm guessing she wants to dictate how those are going to be handled.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to get home and tell Tyrone we have an estate.
Yeah, see, you've learned a lot today, Yodi.
I have.
Well, let's talk about what happens to people who have never made an estate plan.
Okay, well, the state of Michigan took your job for you and made your estate. And they did that based on what most people want. And most people say, well, if I die and I leave a spouse, I'd like him or her to get it. If I don't have a spouse, I have kids, I'd like them to get it. So sometimes that formula fits for people. If you don't have kids, it might not be a good fit. If you want to treat your kids differently because maybe one got a lot of loans during their lifetime and you want to even things out at your death, that formula is not going to fit. If you want to remember a charity that was a big part of your life or your church was a big part of your life, the state's formula doesn't write in any of those kind of gifts, and those may be very near and dear to your heart. So like the pantyhose that are one size fits all, and we've all bought those, and many of us didn't fit in them after we got them home. The state formula is a one-size-fits-all, ladies, and it may work, but you don't want to find out too late that it doesn't fit and it's not good for your family.
All right, here's a good question I have to ask you. With all the software there is out there, and I've been into, you know, checking out the different software programs there for things that I've been putting together, I noticed that they had some, you know, put your estate plan together.
Absolutely.
LegalZoom, what do you think about that?
Does that, Staples. The thing is, I can't keep track of everything on the market, so I don't want to blanket them and I'll say they're good or they're bad. These are some of the things I've found. One is, what state law applied? Did the person who write it live in California, New York, Florida, or have they been sensitive to the fact that you're in Michigan? So that's a key factor, because every state has slightly different rules. Unfortunately, this is not a national plan where we can just move around freely and know that each state looks at the same language, the same definitions. We can't have that assurance.
Quite frankly, if you're putting an estate plan together, it can be a pretty personal thing. And so to, you know, look at a software program to do that for you and not have somebody to answer the questions, some of them very sensitive and touchy questions.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's what stops a lot of people from doing their estate plan. Their intentions are good. They come to see an attorney like me, and I start asking what they consider tough questions. Who might finish raising your minor children if you're not here to do that? Well, that's the most important job you have. To think of someone else, they're never going to measure up. They're never going to meet your standards. So that may be a deal breaker right there that causes people not to do it. But I will gently nudge them to keep doing it. I'm not letting you pull back from your laptop and not finish those documents like you might if you have the forms from the CD you bought or the website that you're on.
So what would you say are the drawbacks to doing a do-it-yourself, or the major drawbacks?
I'm not sure that they're customized for your family. Like I said, you may have children with different needs that you want to treat differently. You may have children that you've made a lot of assistance for during their life, and you want to equalize that at the time you pass and be a disparate distribution, but for reasons that are known to you and the other kids. You may have, like I said, other interests, a niece, a godchild, non-family members that are close friends that you want to remember. Each family is different.
Lisa, feel free to remember me.
Not a problem, but you said, you know what estate plans mean. You know, I mean, I'm just a new business person, so maybe in a couple years from now, we'll be there.
When you built that estate, then you can think of who your heirs are.
But like she said, you don't have to have, you know, a whole lot. So I just want to mention, too, that many people think that, again, you have to be in your twilight years to start working on this. And I'm just going to mention this from firsthand experience, that my brother-in-law passed away unexpectedly and left my sister and two little children with nothing, because who in a million years would think a 28-year-old healthy man would pass away?
Yeah.
So,
well, here's an interesting statistic that I was surprised, but it goes to that. And the average age of a widow is 50. Mm. So that means there's a lot of people who aren't yet 70 passing away and leaving their wives behind. There's people in their 20s and 30s who unexpectedly die. They are in an auto accident. We saw this vividly a few Christmases ago with the Terri Schiavo case.
Right.
And that was riveting because of the fact that she was a young woman. She was in her 30s when a disaster struck. She had no documents in place. And the vacuum that was created led her family, her husband, and her parents to the courts. And how gut-wrenching was that to watch?
Terri, what's different with estate planning than wills or living wills? Or are they all under the same umbrella?
That is, those are different parts of an estate plan. And depending on what you want to do and how you want to plan, you may have a trust, you may have a will, certainly would have powers of attorney, and a medical power like the Schiavo case, where you make the decision in advance who will be your spokesperson if you can't communicate.
I guess,
yeah. Yeah, and so you're saying that a person can come in, they don't need a ton of cash, but some of these even emotional decisions need to be decided, and who's going to make those?
Absolutely.
For you.
And again, I go back to the Schiavo case. We heard from the husband that Terri had told him, I absolutely would not want to live like this. Her parents had heard something completely different, which is, keep me alive. How different could those two sentiments be? And she had nothing in writing that broke that tie and told anyone, I don't want to live like this, or I want my husband to make the final decision. And that's why they had to have all those court battles. It was horrible.
How do you nudge someone to make these decisions if they're just, so many people just don't want to face that? Because, of course, when you start talking about it, that means you have to look at your mortality, which can be tough for people.
Well, the first thing I always ask clients and new clients in the first meeting is, why did you pick up the phone and call me? Because most people have thought about an estate plan for years, but then something actually motivates them to make that call. Almost always, it's some train wreck that they saw in their family or a neighbor where somebody did not do any planning and left a disaster as their legacy for their family. And they say, I don't want to do that. I don't want my kids to go through that. I don't want the fighting. I don't want the uncertainty. I don't want my wishes to be guessed at. I don't want my heirs to have to go through what I saw this family member or friend go through.
And let me mention that this, in term from a business perspective, has implications there as well, so that the family can oftentimes inherit your business debt, your business obligations, your business loans, those kinds of things if you haven't put plans in place, succession plans, estate plans in place. You can have huge implications and burdens on your family. In fact, many of the top, three of the top NFL teams were virtually bankrupted when the husband died and there was not a succession or estate plan in place, and it bankrupted the teams because they had to pull the money out of the teams in order to balance out the
And that's
the
so surprising.
Load.
So, Yodi, like you said, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person doesn't have money and that's the reason they're not going in. There's people who have a lot of money and just choose not to go in, and this is something I hear all the time from many people. Who cares if I'm dead? What do I care if I'm dead? What happens to me afterwards, or what happens to people around me?
Exactly. And the business is an excellent point, because if you have a business that no one else in your family knows how to operate, how much are they going to be able to sell that business for if they can't keep it running for some period of time after your death and get it marketed properly?
And we see that a lot where the kids just don't want the parents' company anymore. It used to be where that's just a given. They're going to go down the line, but they just
So let's think about it in advance, and maybe there's either another person that should be offered the chance to purchase it now, or you appoint him or her to be the trustee or the representative of the estate so they could manage the company until it can be properly marketed. I mean, this is not the market right now, for example, when you want to have to sell real estate or sell a business. But how do you keep those balls in the air until the market is right for that kind of a sale? If you haven't given it any thought and it just falls into your family's lap, you're really cheating them of their true inheritance, because they're going to now have a fire sale, discount the asset to get rid of it, and really not even enjoy their full inheritance.
Well, that moves us into then probate, correct? If you don't do these and take these steps, then
absolutely,
it goes into probate. So
and that's the boogeyman. That's the myth. If I had made a list as Janet had, the myth is that probate is going to take all your money instead of your children. And while that's not true, there may be other reasons you want to avoid probate. You may not like the fact that your personal information is in a public record somewhere. Especially since the explosion of the internet, people are more sensitive about their information, their privacy, and they're very uncomfortable in a lot of instances with what would have to be published in a probate court. Their death certificate, a copy of their will, a list of their heirs with name and address. They will start getting the junk mail. Absolutely, the marketers are there getting copies of those files because they're public, and you will start getting the junk mail, which is a little morbid after someone dies to say, we'll buy your home, we'll buy your land contract. So a lot of my clients just don't want to go through probate, even though it's not going to take the money from your children, it's not going to freeze your assets. They just don't like the privacy that has to be breached in order to get through a probate proceeding.
I have a question for you. If you have a life insurance policy, and that life insurance policy obviously has no cash value until you die.
Correct.
But afterwards, there's cash value there. And again, if you have no other money to your name but this life insurance policy, that's an estate.
Absolutely, it's an estate. It can be absolutely the biggest thing in some people's estate because the premiums are relatively low in relation to the death benefit. So I can see people who maybe not have a lot of cash, month to month is tough, they're living paycheck to paycheck, but they were committed to life insurance and they keep those premiums in force, and they may be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars at the time of their death because of that policy.
Do you hold on to, what's your suggestion for that actual policy? And I'll tell you, I saw this also, an example of this, where a friend's mother died and it was known that she had several life insurance policies, but they could only find one. So they never found the other ones. Who knows where they are, and, you know, whatever happened to them, they exist somewhere.
I see that all the time. I have gone to the extent for clients of just sending letters to every insurance company we can think of and say, do you have a policy for Mrs. So-and-so who passed away? And hopefully they can find one. But companies merge, they go out of business, they sell all their assets. Part of what you do with an estate plan is you think about all these things, and you either make copies of those things and give them to your children now, or when you finish with me and we sign your documents, I give you fill-in-the-blank planning forms, where what I call is leaving the breadcrumbs so the family can follow the trail, like Hansel and Gretel. Do you have life insurance? If so, where do you hide the policy? Do you have a safety deposit box? Most of us hide the key really well if we do have that kind of box. That's great, but someone else besides you needs to know where the hiding place is, because all the treasure trove of important documents are often locked away in that box. So let people know in the form I give them, you can leave them notes. You can tell them what the password is on your checking account if you go online and pay bills. You can tell them who your accountant is, so if they need to get your old tax returns. You can leave those trails.
But those are things you would keep personally for that person? Or
oh, no.
You
oh,
don't?
No. I just want them to not only have them organized, but tell someone else what their method is.
So you really have to find somebody that you can trust with this information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's not your family and you have a trusted friend, that's great. But if you don't say that in your documents, again, the state, if you use their formula, assumes your family is the be-all, end-all. And they will make the family the representative of the estate. Maybe that doesn't fit for your situation. Maybe a trusted friend or a financial advisor is a better choice. You better say that in writing, because the state won't write them in for you.
Well, we've all seen examples of people who don't get along with their family members, and they don't want their family members to get parts of it. They might have a friend they'd rather have
exactly.
their stuff.
Exactly. So. And if they don't say anything, that family will probably come up out of the woodwork at the time of the death, or someone will have to notify them, and those will be the legal heirs to divvy up that estate. How horrifying is that to someone who really didn't get along with their family?
Have you ever seen where somebody had made the decision to divvy up the estate a certain way and there was discrepancy amongst the family members? What happens at that point where, say, the one of the kids said, hey, you know, Dad might have left you that, but I don't agree on it. What do we do now?
It's very difficult to overturn someone's wishes if they took the time to put them in a will or a trust.
Okay.
You either have to show basically that they were mentally incompetent, i.e. they had dementia, they had Alzheimer's, they were under some prescription medicine that altered their thinking, or you have to show that they could not exercise their free will, that someone, you know, the literal hold the gun to their head, someone had dragged them to an attorney against their will, and that these wishes don't reflect what they want, tough burden.
I was going to say that must be a big expensive fight to do something like that.
Yes, and I haven't seen very many of them prevail.
Okay, that's only in the movies then.
Yeah, it makes for good drama.
I was going to say, I've seen that in soap operas back in the day.
Yeah.
Let's go into what is a living trust. I know Yodit had mentioned some of the terms that you use, wills, trust, power of attorney. It gets a little confusing with all the different ones.
This is how I tell clients to think of a trust. If you don't want to go through probate, which is fine, you make that decision for whatever reason. When you say you don't want to go through probate, you're turning your back on a very thick rule book that sets forth everything that needs to happen, who's going to be in charge. So if you're going to turn your back on that, which is your choice, your trust then duplicates that, where you set forth your rules, who's going to be in charge, what they have to do, how they have to account to the heirs for what they're doing, and you replicate the court's rule book privately. So that's all a trust is, really. To just boil it down, it's your rule book for when you no longer handle your own affairs, either through a disability or a death. You've laid out your script, how things will go after that happens.
Okay, and powers of attorney?
Powers of attorney are for when you're still alive, but you can't handle your own affairs. So there's powers of attorney that let people handle your money, you know, pay your bills, and get you in a nursing home, make a contract to pay for that. And there's the power of attorney that lets people make your medical decisions. The Schiavo case, again, if you cannot communicate and you are in end-of-life type of situation, who will be your proxy? Who will interact with your doctors, find out what your prognosis is, and make that decision on what kind of care you get?
Please excuse the barking seal.
I've been trying to turn the mic down when you're going back there, Yodit.
It's tickle here.
Yeah. Well, Terry, this is fantastic information. Certainly way more information than we have time for. So how do people get in touch with you if they wanted to just begin this process? They can come in and
they can absolutely. They can call me 586-783-8350. I'll send you an introductory package with some of the common myths about estate planning and a questionnaire for you to start working on as to what your decisions are. When you're ready to meet, we'll do that the first time with no charge, just to find out what your goals are. Can I help you achieve those goals? What's the best way? And from there, we'll decide if we're going to move forward and in which direction. Are we going to do a trust, just a will, et cetera?
And I just want to stress again, for women out there, you don't need to have a ton of money. There are just emotional issues here that need to be decided.
Absolutely. As Janet talked about, the sentimental issues over a personal item, you may want to spell out who's going to get that so there's not a fight. There may be no value monetarily, but there may be huge sentiment surrounding that. Wouldn't you like to know that no one's going to fight when you're gone?
Exactly. Well, thanks so much, Terry. Appreciate it. Again, that's Legal Strategies, Terry Giampetroni.
Thanks, Terry.
And you can reach Terry at 586-783-8350. Thanks so much. All right, Yodit, can you, we got to
burk, burk, burk.
talk about here?